Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about rock and roll. You know we need it. You know we need it. Love.
SDOT has a get-it-done mindset when it comes to achieving. Sharing breakthrough strategies and overcoming solutions for everyday people, he is a communicator of change. SDOT's most impressive credential is that he keeps it 100 and doesn't water down the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is this refreshing forthrightness that enables him to speak with a right now relevance to people from many walks of life. His can't stop, don't stop, won't stop attitude is infectious to those who have experienced this inspiring author, motivational speaker, and empowerment coach that is committed to helping those most in need succeed in love and life.
I'd like to say peace to all the gods and earth and people of the universe. Peace and love. Just want to let you know the black man's first. We're going to drop a little something like this, you know what I'm saying, on how we feel on the real. Check it, yo. Who tells you when to work?
The devil.
Who tells you when you get a day off?
The devil.
Well, who gives you your pay?
The damn devil.
And who takes it away?
The devil.
You mean to tell me that we're still not a slave in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Knowledge is cipher divided by power equals wisdom, but you know we have to stop with knowledge first. Divine evil was the first and the hurt situation that we into, people saying that we're cursed. The lack of the knowledge of myself makes it worse. Science that we drop to make the average head burst. So do the knowledge on the very next verse. I heard a brother say, I wash your clothes, I cook your food, I'll pay your rent. Now is that how the story went? Radically no. Singer that weak wisdom, knowledge should hide the God and fear to cancel it. So just ring the alarm, another devil's dying. Whoa, just bring me along. Uncle Tom is trying. Whoa, I didn't come to conceal it. I come to reveal it. The true and living God with the Son of Man.
Son of Man.
If you ever need assistance, just take my hand. Black man, be prepared, cause here comes the clan. Now my great-great-grand was hung on a tree by the colored man. You probably know him as a white man. I seen an Oprah Winfrey show. She said that was in the past, but kiss my...
Yeah.
Now it's time to teach the people why our people's not treated equal. Here's the next sequel. I stand taller than the tallest wall you ever saw. Sincere gave the God a call. We boosted from the mall. Long as it's the devil, I'ma take it. If a devil catch me right, I'll leave him butt naked.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Word is born, test the God, I don't fake it.
Here we come.
The soul controller.
Up from the ring. We don't want anybody to get hurt. Oh my God. It's going to be a lot of head rolls, family. This is the one not to miss. Sarah Suit and Seti, the general, going up against Brother Polite. This right here is grown man shit. This is not for sissies, brothers and sisters. This is not for the weak-minded brothers. This is not for the This right here is the one going down in history. The general, Sarah Suit and Seti, still holds the belt. Right here, Brother Polite is coming in the ring. And he is claiming that the white man is not the devil. That we are the devil. We are our own worst enemy. The general, Sarah Suit and Seti, has not come to shoot from the hip. He has not come to shoot from the lip. He has come to show and prove to you today, brothers and sisters, that the white man is not only our enemy, but he is the one that is stopping our rise. It is him in our way. So I'm going to ask you, not to sit too close to the ring. It's going to be some head rolls. And this will go all the way to the 12th round, brothers and sisters.
All know who Star Ross said he is.
Yeah.
So you know he's going to bring fire.
Nah,
you know
fire and personal
bring
two different things.
Information.
Fire and personal is two different things.
Do you think you could be able to go in the ring with him? Right now he holds the belt. He
what
still
belt?
Got
he
that
did
belt.
One, hold on, stop. Let's do it like this. He did one debate.
Right.
One. I don't know the other ones he's talking about. He's talking about. In New York, the last time he had a lecture prior to me, he only had like 30 people show up. Hate me. So I'm saying this. The white man, you can say that he's the reason why you have nothing. You know what I'm going to tell people? If you want the white man to be your devil, he can be your devil. He's not my devil. I know. You know what my devil is? Right here. My lower chakra, my lower seats. That's what my devil is. You see, people don't realize I was brought up on a Nation of Gods and Earth doctrine, 5% doctrine, okay? And then I moved on to the New African community and things of that nature, and I kept elevating, okay? But let me explain something to you. Before my pops left me, he's the firstborn. Okay, my pops grew up in that community. He taught me I was God. You dig what I'm saying? Before he left us.
Mm-hmm.
My pop raised me on this information. So people want to talk about the devil. We got to ask some real questions about the devil. Because now I'm talking to my brothers and sisters that got the lessons. So you talk about the devil, you know when you study about the gravitation and the white man coming out the black man, not to say I agree with any of this information, but when you study it, you got to take into context the four types of devils. Because that's in your lessons. Okay? And when you amalgamate these devils and you learn about more information pertaining to this gravitation and all these devils and the black conscious information, you come to find that you're left with Nas. And what does Nas bring you? Back to self. You understand what I'm saying? So when we talk about the devil, here's a serious question. Because one minute we learned God was outside of us, right?
Right.
And then we found out, nah, God exists in us. But then we learn about the devil and we want to keep him outside. Who do you think is making you point the finger at someone else being the devil? Who do you think is doing that? The devil in you. The devil in you can't afford.
And still, heavyweight champion of the Black Power World, Sarah Shooting. Tonight, on December 9th, I'm going to politely put your fucking lights out. Black Power. Let me bring this thing so I can see my family out there. Everybody, I know everybody wondering when the general was going to respond. I don't see no threat in that nigga at all. Matter of fact, I'm going to ragdoll his ass. It's, you know, I haven't done this shit before, okay? I don't have to get up here and hype myself up, nigga. And I heard what you saying. I only had 30 people at election. Let me tell you something, nigga. I've been rocking New York, nigga, when you was nowhere on the motherfucking scene, nigga. My first motherfucking lecture in New York, nigga. Arlene versus Sandy, nigga. That's legendary, nigga. That's classic. You don't have that, nigga. So I see you doing a lot of chitter chatter. Well, you know, we checking in to all these goddamn books you got. See? We're going to check into these books. I got my research team on you, nigga. Because...
you need to get it. Pete don't want to love you the right way. He ain't gonna. It ain't where he's at. It's where he want to be. Yeah.
Broadcasting live from NYC. What's good, people? It's your man, S-Doc. It is our duty, it is our responsibility as not just people of color, but as citizens of humanity. The objective is to inspire proactive people to productive activities. What's good, people? It's your man, S-Doc. My commitment, first and foremost, is to the restoration and rebuilding of the black family. Black on black love. What's good, people? It's your man, S-Dot. This is why it's important that we've got to get out of the window and start looking in the mirror. Black love is not a passive response. It is a declaration of warfare against those who desire to control and manipulate black men and black women and deprive them over their stewardship over the black family. What's good, people? It's your man, Escott. I remind you that this show is for constructive purposes only.
Remember, you are strongly advised to pause
to replay any portion of this program several times and take notes as you follow along in order to critically examine the information being shared objectively to arrive at your own conclusion. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone else's word for it. I want you to arrive at your own conclusion. And as we always do as a family, we always start with a moment of prayer, inviting the Creator into our presence, because we as a black family are spiritual. We as a black family recognize that it is the Creator who has sustained us throughout the Ma'afa experience, throughout all the turmoil that we have experienced on these shores and beyond. It is the Creator and only the Creator who has been able to get us through all of those atrocities. So we honor that and we give thanks and we live a life of thanks. So that being said, I always like to begin with a moment of prayer. Remember, prayer is basically your conversation with the Creator. It is about how you personally want to express yourself with the Creator. It is not about being religious. It is about being spiritual. So let's begin in prayer. Creator, as your sons and daughters, we ask you to awaken those amongst us who are still asleep. We ask that you open their eyes so that they see truth, and open their ears so that they are able to listen, hear, and discern fact from fiction. We ask that you remove the spirit of cowardice and fear, which indwells so many who are afraid to face themselves, who hide behind excuses and blaming everyone else for their solvable problems. This is our prayer as your sons and daughters. And let every black man, black woman, and black child say, black love. Okay, folks, so we're going to get going in a moment. And before we get going, I just want to talk about the purpose of a debate is that for two individuals to come together on whatever the topic is and to express their opposing points of view. Some of you, you know, hear the word debate and you think that that means two people are coming together and they're going to have a fight. Or you don't understand that the purpose of a debate is for those who are spectators, who are listening, for them to be able to critically examine the information being presented and to arrive at a conclusion as to who prevails. The process, the long process. Let's take a listen.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods.
Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master.
Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
This is the hot spot. You will enter it
at your own risk.
If one is to be successful as a debater, he must be knowledgeable.
When we went to debate, we were prepared. We were prepared for either side of the debate. We could take the affirmative, or we could take the negative. We could take anything that they tossed a coin, and you decide, and they decided, as the way the coin fell, what side you were to take.
A debater must be able to do research, the ability to seek out the facts. And once having sought out the facts, to organize those facts in such a way that he will be persuasive to the listener. A good debater must be able to speak well. A debater who stumbles over the language will not get very far. He must know the language. He must be able to project his voice. He must be able to appeal to people. A good debater has the ability to move from one position to the other without being disturbed or upset. A good debater listens to the opponent, analyzes the opponent's argument, and then brings to bear against that argument his own argument. So he must know both sides of an issue.
All right, so this is the breakdown of how we're going to conduct business today. All right? The brothers is going to get 15 minutes to begin to state their premise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Polite is going first, then Sarah Sulisetti. Then we're going to come back for the body of the arguments. They get 45 minutes each. Polite is going first, Sarah is going second. We're going to take an intermission. Come back. Polite is going first, 45 minutes. Said he's going next, 45 minutes. Then we're going to have questions. I'm going to have questions for you. Okay? And then we're going to open up questions for the audience. After the audience questions, since Polite is one of the promoters of the event, we're going to allow him to have some closing remarks. Now, it's my opinion that your closing remarks shouldn't address the debate in specific, okay? Because that gives you an extra round, and that would be fair, all right? But since you're a promoter, co-promoter of the event, you can address the audience, make any comments. Anything you want to address with the debate after you give your closing remarks should come in the two question and answer periods. Alright, we have two question and answer periods after that. Okay?
Right.
Yes, sir. So we ready to rock and roll?
Now,
sister?
All I'm saying, right, after the debate, I'm just hoping y'all two brothers could be men, shake hands, and y'all could depart y'all separate ways. It shouldn't be you going back home and you going back home making videos. That shouldn't go down. Once y'all get y'all shit in, y'all should be able to shake hands on stage like everybody else do with the debate, because the people is coming for this. That's what they want to get something out of it. So, I mean, is there anything you would like to say, brother, while we on tape? Anything you would like to say, and then Brother Sarah so said he could say something.
I love you, brother, man.
Say that again?
I love you, brother. I'm going to tear that ass up, though. I love you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Go with it, baby. Go with it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Go with it.
I ain't soft, though, man. We're going to be right at the end. All
right. I just want to add this one last thing. Right? It's going to be some information brought out on both sides. That's going to be sensitive. You understand? But I'm telling the brothers that it's got to be done in a respectful way. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know.
Hello? We are ready to get rolling for the great debate between General Sarah Sutsetti of the Black Power Cartel and Brother Polite of the New Covenant. Now, to be starting out, I'm not Brother Polite or Sarah Sutsetti. I cannot say with certainty what either of them believes or means. I can only offer my perspective as an observer of the facts as they're presented. So keep in mind that my commentary throughout the review of this debate, which is the white man the devil or are we our worst enemy, is my opinion and only my opinion. You, the listener, are called to weigh the evidence and draw your own conclusion. Do not be swayed by anything other than your own critical examination of the views expressed and the content shared, which is being presented as a resource to aid and assist you in your careful, thoughtful deliberation. Now, personally, I like and admire several things about both debaters. I'm inspired by Seti's passionate commitment, his unapologetic stance, his self-determination. Seti's a warrior. I like that spirit that's always ever ready for battle. And he is undeniably one of the loudest and most relevant voices speaking about our current condition. Seti often says what remains unspoken, like me. But it's the thoughts that are in the back of our minds. He reflects that righteous indignation and justifiable frustration of those who have decided that enough is enough, those who already are willing to respond to aggression with aggression. And I'm encouraged by Brother Polite's dedication and discipline to being and becoming a self-reliant man. He's a statesman, and he's got that spirit, which is always engaged in strategic planning. And without question, I would say Brother Polite is focused on reexamining and presenting solutions to our right here and right now issues. One thing I like about Polite is he's unafraid of expressing an unpopular but necessary perspective. He mirrors the ambitions and resilience of those who will make a way out of no way, usually by turning lemons into lemonade. That being said, so as Brother Sutek said in the intro, the debate went as follows. There was a 15-minute portion, the beginning of the debate. Each of the individuals were given 15 minutes to have an open introductory monologue about who they were, what their objectives were, and so forth. During that 15-minute introduction, Brother Polite stated that he was not going to make it personal. He was going to stay focused on the information, that his objective was really to have folks walk away from the debate with an implementable strategy and a plan that they could take to their everyday lives towards not being their own worst enemy. Brother Seti said that he felt that much of what Brother Polite has been saying or directing towards him over the last few months has been personal, very vindictive, very venomous, and that he came for war. He made it unapologetically clear that he was coming out swinging. That being said, when the bell rang and the two of them came out, they came out swinging. So now there is a lot of material to cover. I don't have the full audio of Polite's first presentation, round one. I'm going to play a portion of what I do have, though. So what we're going to do is we're going to play Brother Polite's portion, and then we're going to stop. And if any of you have any questions or comments, as I said, call up 347-308-8527. Once again, 347-308-8527. Those of you who are in the chat room, feel free to engage one another in dialogue, and we'll be back in a minute. It's your man, Esther. Holla.
In this book, the brother makes it clear that his father was a great man. And he ate, slept, and lived revolution. Let's make it clear before we get emotional, because you never allow people to talk once you think something is at stake. And that's the ignorance in you. You got to let people speak. But what did his son say while his father was alive? But this is not an attack on the brother Khalid, because he was one of the greatest leaders, and it's going to remain that way.
Right.
We're saying this is a dysfunction, and we have to find a way for the community to fix it so it doesn't keep happening. It's a dysfunction.
truth. We can't keep running from it. We got to address it so we can fix it. I will not take the time out to denigrate the character of someone who's not even alive. I'm not doing that today. It's a dysfunction. And we should think about how we can make sure this doesn't happen, because if you was part of a family and your father was highly revered as a teacher, and in your absence, the community doesn't even think twice to take care of you, when they understand if the teacher was alive, they would have took care of you. This is how we become our own worst enemies. We do this. When Hillary Clinton called Bill Clinton cheating, they would have killed her if she divorced him, because they would have been destroying the white image. How willing are we to give up our great black image? You never let the children rot after a great leader. You never do that. That's the first sign that the community is a rebel. When you let Dr. Ben stay in the nursing home, and you let these people live in the peace, and their fathers and their leaders are Dr. Ben and Khalid Muhammad, you're telling the youth, you might as well try to get a record deal, son, because conscious people don't take in. You see, you get the chance to really hear me and see what I'm mad about. And I know it makes sense, but there's an exorcism taking place. Some of you are shaking your necks and spinning. You want to refuse me. You love me, so you love to hate me. You have no choice but to love me. Because you know damn well I make sense at the end of the day. This shit ain't black hate. This is like, look, we've been blaming people for so long. Problem after problem we keep creating. We ain't addressing it. Stop passing the buck. So we see here, really, man, he said, I'm a 19-year-old African-American male who grew up in a single-parent household.
You're goddamn lying.
That's right.
I dreamed of making enough money so that my mother could stop working her two, sometimes three jobs. Is that a lie? Did his mother have, did his mother work for the white man? Three jobs?
Mike, go to the next slide, please.
Now I want to know who has the facts. You can correct me, but it's not me. The toilet was constantly jammed, the roaches seemed to have signed a long-term lease in our place. Of course, there were certain times during every month where we had a serious shortage of food. In other words, no food. That's an exaggeration. That's no exaggeration. People think that poor people embellish to the degree of lack, but there were days that our cup was completely bare. There were days on the end when the only thing in our refrigerator was the light that came on when you opened the door. That's how desperate things got sometimes. This is his account. I don't know. This is his account. But what I will tell you, the moral of the story is, when somebody's up here teaching, it takes away the time that they have to commit to their family. I don't know how exaggerated this is, or if it even is at all. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm making it clear. I don't know. And many of us honestly don't know ourselves. But what we do know, the moral of the story is this. Don't miss the point. Teaching takes black men away from their family. Will the community take care of their family because of the sacrifice they make? That's the question. Don't get emotional. Listen to the information. Go to the next one. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Work hard with you, brother. Work hard. It's coming good. So, I got this guy for white man. This white man shit is off the chain. We got to go through his mind. We got to pick his mind. We study the white man. We say he's master of war. All he cares about is power. Why not read the best-selling book in America on war and power? And study the psychology of white people that want to oppress us. So we can get an idea of what tactics he's employing to keep us down. Does that make sense? Shit, makes sense. It's going to light up. Since no creature can survive without the ability to see or sense what is going on around it, you must make it hard for your enemies to know what is going on around them, including what you are doing. Disturb their focus, and you weaken their strategic power. People's perceptions are filtered through their emotions. They tend to interpret the world according to what they want to see. Feed their expectations, manufacture reality to match their desires, and they will fool themselves. The best deceptions are based on ambiguity. Mix things back with fiction. Yeah, white people enslaved us. But a lot of shit that comes after that, we start fabricating. Ambiguity. Mix some truth with some falsehood. So that no one cannot be disentangled from the other. Control people's perceptions of reality, you control them. If they're educating your children from young, they're controlling your perceptions. Let's go to the next one. Did the folders get given out? A lot of you got folders? I want you to take a look at those folders. So we're going to go over that in closing. But I want to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, because quite frankly, you can't have a military unless you have an economy. I didn't say money, I said an economy. There's actually a difference between the two. I keep saying economics, and people keep saying all you care about is money. Economics is spirituality. Go into a religious dictionary, look at the word spirituality. It says the revenue that is made and the properties that are acquired. Look it up. Any religious dictionary, you'll see spirituality is the money generated and the properties acquired by the church. They teach you a different rendition of spirituality that complements this. They teach you, if you have the house, come on, you're being too busy. You glad? So I'm introducing to you a synopsis of a healthcare bill, plan of action, that in 10 months, we can nominate some benefactors just to show you that it works. Okay? It's called Give Me Five. We become our own worst enemy. And I'm not going to bring you in here today and not try to give you a solution that we can implement. Otherwise, what would be the reason for the debate? To just break each other down, tear down leadership. I ain't come here to tear down leadership. That brother happens to like Dr. Mann, I also happen to like Dr. Mann too. It would be devilish of me to come here in order to hurt my brother, attack his father. I think that would be devilish. I think that's evil. I got to confuse someone, get at your daddy, who's in prison. I think that's wrong. But you know, we're going to exempt each other when we misbehave. Because we just don't believe evil can be within us. Or even bad decisions. Go to the next one. I'll be damned if I come here today and try to tear somebody down. When all of us are organized finally, we don't get a chance to organize like this enough. I got to make sure I come good.
Right.
We do not have a gross domestic product. Because we do not have a market. It's not stabilized.
Not yet.
That's right, not yet. It's not stabilized. We don't have a stable market. And what I mean by that, you have lecturers providing a service, you have DVDs that represent goods. Services and goods. That's sovereignty. Because we don't have white lecturers, and we are the ones making our DVDs, what we should do is put a registered trademark on the DVD, and we should challenge the people that sell the DVDs to put up $100 a month. Because they're selling over 20 people's intellectual property, and then when these leaders die or they get sick, the DVD sellers don't give them nothing back. But they've been making money off of them month after month, and they didn't get one out of 20 teachers that they selling their intellectual property. I think that's evil. I think that makes us our worst enemy. Because if I teach here for 15, 20, and 30 years, and then I wind up in a nursing home, and you've been selling my damn DVD and book, and you can't give me nothing back, I think that makes us our own worst enemy. That's some nigga shit. Europeans make money off of real estate, food, health care. All of this is us. Transportation, we travel to go to work, and hope that we buy a house, and we have to eat food while we're in the house. All this shit. All this stuff is what the European does. Let's go to the next one. But you see, hold on, Blog Talk, if we challenge our brothers and sisters, Blog Talk, vendors, speakers, promoters, and DVD sellers, to allocate some of the funds that they make, the revenue that they generate, into this specific cause, we can kill it. But let's go to the next one, the last point, thesis point. Look how deep this is. What if everybody that just supported Dr. Ben, who quotes him all the freaking time, what if everybody that quotes Dr. Ben just put up $5 a week? What if everybody that says they hate the white man? There's over 42 million black people in America. There's over 42 million black people in America. There's over 42 million black people in America. Is it safe to say at least 10,000 out of 42 million have $5 every week? Because if 10,000 people inside of a group of 42 million that hate the white man have $5 a week, that's $10,000 every $5 a week turns into $100,000 every 2 weeks, and every month $200,000, and every 10 months $2 million. $5 a week is at least 10,000 people who went in red, black, and green, black, purple that got $5 a week. And in 10 months, only 10,000 out of 42 million people can generate $2 million, and that shit will be our exit, because you cannot have a military unless you have an economy. That is the reality. No one has a military that doesn't have an economy. They work hand in hand, but you need an economy. I didn't say money. I said economy. Listen, doesn't matter who has the most powerful currency. There's different types of dollars. The Jewish dollar is worth more than the black dollar. Circulation. Poor circulation is the number one cause of disease. The black dollar doesn't circulate enough in the community, so the disease is poverty. Oh. It'll become our own worst enemy.
So as you can see, that was about 11 minutes of Brother Polite's 45-minute round one presentation. And he went throughout that 45-minute presentation, for the most part, outlining his economic strategy and plan for black people becoming more accountable and taking personal responsibility for many of the issues that the black family complains about. And also a very important portion of his presentation is he outlined some of the reasons why many of us are our own worst enemies. He pointed out nutritional factors. He pointed out, you know, that as a result of our diet, that many of us are deactivating our own DNA. For instance, many of us who are consuming white powder, not white power, white powder, be it flour, bleached flour, bread, white bread, potatoes, white potatoes, and, you know, many of these things are contrary to what was our indigenous diet as people of color prior to us coming to these shores in this part of the world. And so as a result of that, many of us are our own worst enemies by what we put into our mouths. He also shared the consequences of our biological genetic code being subjected to slave thinking, which would be crab barreling and, you know, pulling one another down. Propaganda, which I call niggertainment, you know. A lot of the information that we put into ourselves, be it music, be it films, videos, even the books, even the lectures that we attend are niggertainment. And he also talked about conditioning, the residential reinforcement. Many of us reside in slave quarters, which is why we continue to function with a slave-like mentality and consuming a slave-like diet of niggertainment and food that just isn't the most nutritionally sound food for us to eat. So it was a pretty profound 45 minutes. There was a thunderous applause after he left, so much so that many folks who were in attendance, and you ask around those who were there, many people who were in attendance when he finished his 45-minute presentation, many of us stood there with our jaws wide open, like he went hard. Like he really stuck to the topic. He talked about how we are our own worst enemy. He gave some practical examples. He said it in a way in which he placed himself in the context of the things that he had personally did wrong, and then drew contrast with things that folks are personally doing wrong. He was very much in your face, letting you know that this was not about tap dancing around the issue. It was really a challenging presentation. And it was one that most folks who weren't familiar with Brother Polite, who'd never attended any of his functions, I think many of those folks were quite pleased. Now we're going to go to Sarah Seti's round one presentation. We're going to play it in portions. We're going to play it in three portions. And he had 45 minutes as well. I'm going to let you listen to the content for yourself, and I will try to refrain from, you know, infusing too much of my own personal perspective. I will give you my observations as to what I saw while I was there, but I want you, the listener, to be able to listen to the words of everything that's said, and recognizing that this is a debate, and again, the title of the debate is the white man the devil, or are we our own worst enemy? Sarah Seti is of the position the white man is the devil. Brother Polite is of the position we are our own worst enemy. You heard Brother Polite, and now Sarah Seti.
Without further ado, we're going to bring my man Sarah Super Steady up. Look at him, he's reaching, he's anxious, he's like, dang, he's like a pit on the chain. All right? Sarah Super Steady, y'all, let's hear it for Sarah Super Steady.
All right, pal. Let me go to the
team.
Now, the first thing that I know about the brother, he always talking about what the black power community ain't done for our people. Just ain't hear nothing about what the new Wabians did for Dr. York. That's clear. Just didn't hear it. Now, is that by coincidence? Nigga clapping. Quiet.
I'ma show you some shit.
You gotta get out the way. Don't stay over there.
You okay? I'ma show you some shit. Show you some shit. All right. Let me start with this. See, I really didn't know it was white and new wild.
Oh, shit!
I didn't really know it was white and new wild.
Yo, you can't block the way. Just stay over there. Because he's going to come back over there.
I didn't know. Let me turn this up. He might, but I'm not the one. Quiet, please.
Come on, man. Fuck
that out, man. You know what I'm saying?
You
disrespect a lot of people in the audience. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what the devil is, brother, we can't trust you.
Listen.
Break it back, fuck it, y'all.
Who that?
You know,
Listen.
That is who the devil is. Because if you don't know what the devil is, brother, I can't trust you. If you really think that Nicholson is going to be devil, I will use a capital T. The devil. If you are telling the fact that he can't know that white people are not the devil, that is in the Quran. I'm telling you, Muslims, it is in the Quran in Arabic. It tells you the white man is the devil, the Holy God, the 51st chapter, the 7th verse. There's a man, Rajalek, the chain of man, physical. Mm-hmm. Now, the Quran told me, you somehow look at him and start saying they say the devil, the devil's a man. But you don't want to believe that. Not believing that is why you're suffering.
Let me
came
over.
Well, I can open the Bible to show you where white people come from.
See? All kinds of crap.
Where they came from, how they got a cursed seed, how the leprosy is in there, Leviticus chapter 13, 14, Genesis 9, 25, verse 10. That whole about Ham being cursed to be an upper step. Ham wasn't cursed, Canaan was cursed. And Canaan was the Canaanites over white people. Open the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 and read it. And you'll see when you go into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in that house. Now look up the Pope of Anubis and now we find out why white people take it. Find out why they can't stand the sun. Find out why they're peeling and falling apart. Find out why they got that big hump in their back. Find out why they got hair on the back of their legs and on their shoulders.
Okay. That's off the door. Okay. Now, whatever he come out with, he's in conflict with his own teaching. See, and I don't have no problem, and I ain't got nothing to do with that. See, so whatever he can say, he gonna have to say it against Dr. York. He can't say it against me.
I just kept, I'm like,
goddamn, these motherfuckers got more presence in this shit than they got black people. See, no wonder they got to keep, you know, the white man on the team. See, they got to keep the white man on, they own the goddamn team. All along, they was on the team.
But the question is, if they were the devil, why did they continue to let the motherfuckers get a new wife? See, that's double talk. You're for what nobody said.
That's double talk, okay? Either the motherfucker's cursing or he's not, okay? Now, what goddamn principle is you standing on? See, motherfucker come out here and say something. I mean, what do the fuck you believe? We can't believe shit that come out your goddamn mouth. You change the shit every two goddamn days.
See, now, he always want to talk about the Black Power Nation. But they got the flag of the Mahdi, of Sudan, a revolutionary that cut the fucking head off of General Gordon, who came to Sudan to colonize our people. Now, if he can talk shit about the Black revolutionaries, why the fuck do they fly a revolutionary flag? Huh? Let's talk about it. See? 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 Yeah, motherfuckers gonna get quiet now. Motherfuckers gonna get quiet now. Those are facts. I didn't bring them motherfuckers. Those are facts that any of y'all can go do this research. See? Let me keep it moving. See, that's the flag right there. That's the flag right there. But see, they added some shit to that. And I'm gonna show you, family. I'm gonna show you. See? We can see right here. Where the revolutionary brother, the Mahdi of Sudan, fought the cracker General Gordon and cut his fucking head off. He didn't sell no motherfucking vacant lots to do that. See? And then he talking about light skinned motherfuckers. What about the Maroons? It didn't change them.
Come on.
Huh? It didn't change the Maroons. And that's light skinned. Okay then. It's about culture. It ain't about the goddamn genes. White people got black kids in their bed. But the motherfuckers still act like brothers. That's all I can go. We're racism. It went two ways. All right. So you need to put some information up there showing also what the black blood do for white people. Do it make them black? Do it make them black? No, it don't. No, it don't. No, it don't. See right there? He cut the motherfucking head off. Those are facts. A revolutionary. And then Dr. York said he was from that lineage. Am I right? Okay then, well, he's speaking against his own house. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. Cannot stand, family. See, motherfuckers talk. See, the shit that he spit, you know, about the, you know, lying shit, I don't have no problem with that.
that. It sounds like a watered down making of the nigga. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. See, now you look at this motherfucker, General Gordon. See what he got on? The face. See, I got to come back and do this shit again. I got to come back and do this shit again. Now, he says he's from the mob, but yet and still, he's wearing the motherfucking fans of General Gordon. Now, which one is it, family? Which one is it? We talking about black power. We talking about black power. Now, we got to talk about you, motherfuckers. And it's going to get deep, family. I want you to hold your motherfucking feet, okay? Let me keep moving. Now, you see this shit? You see the motherfucking, what they call the Ascaris. Anytime you see a motherfucking nigga in Africa with a fez on, he being led by a crack. I guarantee you. I did that shit before. But yet, they still wear that motherfucking hat. Why is that? Why is that when I brought that science? I didn't put that shit up there. I did.
But I ain't telling them up with that, though. You see what I'm saying?
Look at this shit, okay? Now, look at that. See, they killing the brothers. The original Muslims did not wear feathers. They wore turbans because it's based on geography. It's the sun. That motherfucking feathers ain't going to do nothing for a nigga out there in that desert. They ain't going to do shit for them niggas out there in that desert. See? So where did it come from? It came from the Turks. Yes, it did. We did that shit before. I don't have to go come here and do this shit again. See these niggas? See these niggas? Here we go again. Here we go again. But they quit to criticize the Black Power Nation. But the motherfuckers don't see no flaws in themselves. What the fuck did the New Orleans do for Dr. York? Huh? See, we talking about leaders. We talking about accountability. We want, when he comes up here, let us know what the hell these New Orleans is doing for the relief of Dr. York. Worry about that. Worry about your own lead. Okay? All right. I believe it. Here we go. See him? See, he's representing right here. But then when you go way back here, he got the fear of the enemy on his head. That's confusion. You're confusing me, family. You're confusing me. See, I don't got to come out here and talk all this shit. You know, I just want y'all to prove this up here. Because if they're confused in their representation, then what the fuck is coming out of his mouth today? See, you got to stand on something. See, and we can't see what the fuck they said. See, they switch every other day. They get this shit on one day, then the motherfucker or Arab the next day. Then the nigga a rabbi the next day. Then the motherfucker chief black beat the next day. Then the nigga Reverend Doctor in the AO the next day. Then the motherfucker 720 degrees, the supreme master of this. What the fuck do you stand on? It's like you ever see Scooby Doo and shit, and then they in the haunted house and they get to chasing the goddamn monster, and then, you know, the monster chasing them, they run in one room, right? And then they come out and run into the next room, and then before you know it, the monster and Scooby chasing Shaggy, and then Shaggy with the monster chasing Scooby, and then, you know, this is what the fuck, so you can't chase the Scooby. You can't chase the Scooby. See, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just put the facts up there. Those are facts. Let me keep moving.
Okay, listen to me, we're going to start teaching y'all technology.
Listen,
we're going to breed people like Dr. Van and Dr. Clark and even these.
Wait. They're dangerous.
Man, you're getting ready to start teaching on egotology. So you're going to breed people like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and he's a demon. Right now, you're getting ready to start teaching on egotology. So you're going to breed people like Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and he's a demon.
What you going to do? I can come to a call. I'm going to give a call.
So, as you could clearly hear, SETI's round one presentation was used to lay the foundation of his offense, which is rooted in the premise that Brother Polite is an apple that has fallen from a tree planted in support of their own oppression. So,
spiritual son of Dr. Malachi York. He's being called onto the carpet for his affiliation with the master teacher of what SETI says is questionable accountability and credibility. The implication is that because he is a student, he does not deviate from the lesson plans of his teacher. You may agree, you may not agree. Nonetheless, the topic for this debate is the white man the devil, or are we our own greatest and our own worst enemy? So the caller number is area code 347-308-8527. Once again, the calling number is area code 347-308-8527. We got some callers on the line. I'm going to pick up my caller from the 248 area code. Caller from the 248. Caller from the 248 area code.
Yeah, my brother, how are you? This is the King of Kings.
What's going on, brother?
Oh, man, I'm enjoying your show. I'm just sitting up here like, it's an interesting subject because I think it's time to really expose those devils, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you do a deep study, my brother, and the first word in the Bible talks about Russia and Africa going to Magog and Gog, called Rosh, the ancient name for Russia. And sometimes we talk about the devil and the white man. Can we really prove our point? And I'm enjoying this show, man. I just tuned in, and I hit you up on the internet as well as the phone because I think that we need to begin to document what we said, Greg King. You know, I'm enjoying it, man. I love the dialogue with you.
I appreciate it, brother. So, you know, just hang tight. You know, we're going to go, we got a lot of material to cover tonight. I want people to be able to hear and judge for themselves the debate. So we're going to just keep on moving. I'm going to keep you on hold. You just press number one on your phone. That'll put your hand down. But if you got another question or comment throughout the debate, you know, just press number one on your phone, and we'll pick you right back up. All right, bro?
Well, definitely, Greg King. I'm an author of 10 books, and I'm doing a movie on my life. I want to, you know, let the people know that when we talk about, there's a scripture in the Bible said, "Go tell the fox," which bears the name 666. And if you do the F is 6, the 0 is 15, 1 plus 5 is 6, X is 24, 2 plus 4 is 6. These are the things we must begin to understand if we're going to awaken the consciousness of the kings and the queens in the earth today. So definitely, King. I mean, let's get it hot, man. Let's get it popping, man. Let's get the people in the house to talk to the kings and the queens tonight, and not put it off. Let's get it going.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in, bro. Appreciate it.
Peace.
All right. So. Once again, call the number is area code 347-308-8527. The call the number is 347-308-8527. Now we're going to play the next portion of Sarah Study's round one presentation. In this portion of the debate, he played a few audio clips, which while we were at the debate, the clips themselves that he played were a bit difficult to understand while we were there. And as I listened to the playback of it, I realized that they're still somewhat difficult to understand. You may want to adjust your speakers if you're listening live. Maybe you want to put on some headphones. If you have some headphones, it may enable you to hear better. Those of you who are listening on the playback, this from the archive, this might be an opportunity in which you may have to replay this portion of the debate. So the portion that I'm talking about, in which he plays a couple of clips, you'll hear it, and I'll come back and I'll try to clarify what went on during that portion of the debate, and we'll be back in a minute.
You see, in life-size drawing, and bring it to the world, the drama of Heru revenging his father after a robot of silence by killing his uncle, the Typhon. We can call it out to the temple and accept what they call Isis. At the island of Thebes, and see the beginning of the story. Now, all these temples I'm telling you, exist. It's not very real. The story, it's the story that will be, but the fact that the story is still there, written in the law, going to the story, because anybody could go and steal the story. Not only written in red, but born and cut in the law. Does anybody know the box of Pandora in Egypt? Know that there was a million gods for each dynasty. Every time a dynasty came, there was a new bunch of gods. So no wonder happened to us as a people if we open that box. We got so many gods, there'll be a group over here saying we follow the Hyksos dynasty, this will be the Ramses dynasty, this will be the so-and-so dynasty, and then we'll have the same problem we have now. It's called the Catholics, and then the protesters against the Catholics become the Protestants, and then the evangelists who's going to split what they protested about became the evangelists, and then those who were waiting for the 50th Jubilee became the Pentecostals, and then there were those who bore witness that the man was not God, but Jehovah, and they became Jehovah's Witnesses, and then there were those who said, well, we have to keep the Sabbath, and that happens on the seventh day, not the sixth day, and they became 7 day, and they're going to advance with this new idea, 7 day, and he started breaking us up. What happened? When you go around the neighborhood, you find that all of us are the ones all confused.
See, and then you went right down to Georgia and set your shit up like Egyptians. Like the Egyptians. You talked about the Egyptian deities. Call the brothers that brought the science. Demons. See, that's slander. Them brothers have been on the ground far too long for that man to disrespect Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark like that. And then go right down to Georgia and steal their fucking legacy and set it up with all the Egyptian regalia. That's bogus. And the same thing that that nigga did to Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark, that nigga trying to do to me.
Damn, is that it?
Yeah, that's exactly what you did. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let me get it. Look at this. Look at this. See, but he just talked about it. What would we do if we started accepting all these Egyptian deities? What would happen to us? You know what would happen to us? New Wapians. That's what would happen to us. I'm sorry. I didn't make the shit. I'm just putting the shit in front of your face. A lot of people already knew about it. See? But the shit is going to get deeper. See, because I knew this shit was going to happen one day. And so I've been plotting on you motherfuckers for a long time. I've been plotting on you motherfuckers for a long time. So, he talking about Dr. Ben K. I know, I already went to the master. We have to talk with the master. Okay? And we're going to bring this information to you. Oh, shit, I ain't been here, y'all. Not yet. I don't want to hit y'all with that. Let me come on over here. Oh, here you go. Here you go. I'm going to come back to that. Here. Bye-bye. Got a passport. So I knew they ain't getting nowhere.
spot. Sign off on it. I guess it was the white jeans in the next one. I guess it was the white jeans in the next one. Okay. See, the thing is this, fam. Real niggas do real things. Touching babies is the most hideous motherfucking crime in humanity. See?
Absolutely.
It's the most hideous crime in all of humanity. And see, when you sign off on some shit like that, see, you curse every motherfucker that was a part of that goddamn community. I don't want to hear about nothing, about no motherfucker tortured nobody. Because you're going to have to beat my motherfucking ass to death. I'm coming out that bitch swole up. Did anybody beat you? Hell yeah. They've been beating the shit out of me and this motherfucker. You understand me? I don't give a fuck who you got. I don't give a fuck what the threat is. You see what I'm saying? You fucked up the whole goddamn community for a few motherfuckers. I won't give a fuck who they got in there. They go home they ass too. Because he's the money maker. He's the mastermind. He can get out, continue to make money. The broader community will still be here. The compound, still here. You mean to tell me you're gonna let the rockers destroy all that? For a few motherfuckers? That's not real, family. That's not real. That's not real. You don't do no shit like that. You don't do no shit like that. Let me keep moving. Now, what I want y'all to do is look at that. Do you understand that star, that six-pointed star with the arc in the middle, that's Madame Blavatsky's star. That's Madame Blavatsky's star. That's Madame Blavatsky's star. See, when I hit him the first time, the nigga should have known. Why the fuck would... Now, he gonna come out here and tell you what the fuck wrong with the black power community, but he can't tell you nothing about the shit he got on his own head.
Yeah.
You ain't got a plan. You ain't got a goddamn plan. See? You ain't got a plan. See? There you go. Madame Blavatsky. See? And I got more shit. That's who they fuck with. See, he dibbled and dabbled with a lot of them motherfuckers. See, I couldn't get a lot of that shit, but I'm gonna do it again. See? Fucking even with them Satanists. That's why every goddamn title, the devil in this, the devil in that, the devil in microchips. The devil in hamburgers. The devil in house shoes. This nigga got a goddamn title with the devil in. He got more title with the devil in it than he got with God. Go look it up. Go look it up. See, it's just like the healthcare system. They make you think you sick so they can prescribe you some fake ass medicine to heal.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? You better watch them. You better watch them, nigga. See? There you go, right there. He got it on his head. You cannot deny. That's exactly what it is. Now, are these, you know, black devils? Now, I want to go in here and find you. As I say, goddamn, they fucking with all these goddamn, fucking with all.
Okay, that's the second clip from Sarah Seti's part one, or round one. Presentation, a 45-minute presentation, and for those of you who need some clarification, at some point early in the presentation, he played a video clip of himself visiting Dr. Ben in the hospital in 2007, and during this clip, he disclosed to Dr. Ben that he had heard Dr. Malachi York make statements slandering him, Dr. Ben, and Dr. Clark, classifying them both as demons. And Dr. Ben's response was, "I believe it, he called me worse than that." And he went so far as to say,
He even tried to have me killed. So that, of course, if anyone was at the debate knows that that drew a very shocked response from a lot of folks who were there to see this information come out. Now, I want to also remind you that the theme of the debate, the title of the debate is the white man the devil, or are we our worst enemy? Sarah Sutton-Seddy's position is the white man is the devil. Brother Polite's position is we are our worst enemy. We got a number of callers still on the line. We got quite a bit of ways to go, but we're going to pick up our callers. We want people to weigh in. I got Poverty Supreme on the line. Highly go ahead. Blessed, Baba.
Highly blessed, Baba. I'm calling from the UK. I paid for the debate myself, and I watched the first round, but I fell asleep. And the next day when I went to watch it again, it was just gone, so... But I paid for it. I watched the first half, so I saw both guys get off their first round. And from what I was seeing, it was a big attack on, you know, they started attacking each other's teachers, you know. I think rather than, I would say that Seti, he built on, you know, the white man's the devil for maybe 2 minutes. But I mean, at the end of the day, he was provoked by Polite, because Polite started it, you know. But for me, you know, the white man is undisputably the devil at the end of the day. And again, you know, there's not really a wrong or right in this. And, you know, black folk are, we are our own worst enemy, you know, on that scale. But the white man is most definitely the devil. No one can't take it away from them. Their history is written in blood, brother. In blood.
So now, so far from what you saw yourself and seeing round one, and from what you've heard tonight so far, and knowing that each of them holds a position that is diametrically opposed to one another, Sarah Sutton's position being... the white man is the devil. Do you feel that he covered that during his presentation so far?
Who said he?
Yes.
I think he covered it to within the best of his... he covered it, because there's not really much to say. You know, there's not really much to say when you check it. I mean, he linked up all of Dr. York with Aleister Crowley. He linked him with Anton Levy. He linked him with Helena Blavatsky. And he showed how that flag even comes from Helena Blavatsky, the symbolism that Polite is having. So, you know, a lot of masonry stuff that Polite's dealing with, you know. A lot of his inspiration was taken from, you know, occult science.
Let me ask you this. So, the symbolism that he has brought out, and that's going to be, we're going to play quite a bit of that in the next clip, which is going to be the final clip from round one for Sarah Seti. It's going to talk about the signs and the symbolism. But talking about Alice the Crowley and talking about the symbolism and things of that nature, and talking about Dr. York, and these different, and bringing up the beef between Dr. York, Dr. Ben, and Dr. Clark, would you say that any of that is relevant or relative to his premise or what the theme of the debate is, which is the white man the devil?
Well, it is and it isn't. Because at the end of the day, Polite asked for it. Because he started it. He was trying to question Seti and black movement, you know, black people, you know, black power movements that hold up Dr. Ben in high regard by saying, well, what is he doing in the hospital when you lot are bootlegging his DVDs? People bootleg, people bootleg Dr. York, Them guys, those New Albions, they claim that, what's his face? They claim to know law. When Malachi Zed York's pleading guilty in a court, I didn't see a black person right next to him to represent him. I saw white folk representing him in the courtroom. These guys talk, you know, so it had to be said at the end of the day. He tried to question his devotion, you know, and you know, he asked for that. You know, if you're going to call out my dad, I'm going to call out your dad. You see what I'm trying to say?
My question is, and this is what I want listeners to be able to listen in and hone in on. I'm a person that, you know, I train people as a living, for a living. Yeah. I'm a media coach, and I train people in speaking. And in speaking, we look for themes and to make sure a speech is thematically relevant towards what the topic is. All of the stuff that he said about Nuwabians and Dr. York, all of these things are definitely things that I think need to come to light and need to be discussed. But my question to you is any of that relevant to what we came together to have a debate for?
Okay, well, that's why I said it is and it isn't. Because what I'm saying again, Polite started the personal attacks. Now, when we look at what Polite was saying, Polite never came with no solution for how black folks should get out of the mess. Do you understand? Polite actually came out there, and for me, he was trying to, what can I say, attack black people's, black folk, the black families' ignorance, the poor choices that we make into making us side with what he's trying to say. You know, and you don't get people like that.
But wasn't his position, we are our own worst enemy? So if that's his position, we're our own worst enemy, wouldn't it make sense for him to point out the things that make us enemies of ourselves? Does that seem logical to you?
Yes, but at the same time, he never came with no proper. If you're going to do that and you really want to be healing, you want to heal, you want to tell people, you might think the best thing for you to go. If you're going to do that on one hand, you have to come with a solution or something palatable, something that the people can apply when they leave. Do you understand? And
I got you. What we're going to do, though, because, you know, in the interest of time, we got a number of clips to get through.
I'm going to move on
to the next clip. Yeah. And I'll keep you on the line. Just press number one on your phone so your hand goes down. And if you got something else to weigh in after we play the next clip, just press number one and I'll pick you back up. We got a number of callers on the line. Callers who are on the line, you know, we're definitely going to get to you guys. We got a lot of ground to cover, you know. And
most definitely, brother. I'll be on the line on that. I want to listen to you. I heard the start of the second round from Seti. I mean, from Polite. And then, you know, I fell asleep. So, it would be nice to hear the full second round now. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Highly blessed, my brother.
All right. So, we're going to go to the third clip of Seti, his round one discussion. And remember, his premise is the white man is the devil. So this is the third clip for his round one discussion.
With the Satanists. That's why every goddamn title, the devil in this, the devil in that, the devil in microchips, the devil in hamburgers, the devil in house shoes. This nigga got a goddamn title with the devil in it. He got more titles with the devil in it than he got with God.
Go look it up. See, it's just like the healthcare system. They make you think you sick so they can prescribe you some fake-ass medicine to heal.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying? You better watch them, nigga. See?
There you go, right there. He got it on his head. You cannot deny that's exactly what it is. Now, are these, you know, black devils? Now, I'm
want to go in here and find him. And I say, goddamn, they fucking with all these goddamn, fucking with all these goddamn occultists. Where is this shit at? Okay, I went to look up Aleister Crowley. I said, let me go look that motherfucker. Now look, as I was scrolling down the motherfucker under Aleister Crowley, you see that picture right there? That's the same one they used on the motherfucking book.
Oh, shit.
Look at that. See? And you say Anton LaVey was a follower of Aleister Crowley? See? See? And Anton LaVey, that's the motherfucker they call the Black Pope. He said he's so motherfucking wicked that the devil worships him.
Damn.
See? See? You got an answer to that sound. That was an actual fact.
See? We'll get with the baby a lot later. But what we want to do is ask them why the fuck y'all fucking with these Satanists.
See? You got to get into that. Madame Blavatsky was a goddamn witch, man. I didn't have to come out here and do no whole whooping and hollering. Because, I mean, the shit Dr. Ben spoke for itself. And so, you slandering, family. You're slandering. You want to come out here and slander. You want to come out here and slander the Black Power community. But you cannot tell us shit that the Nubians did for Dr. York. Now, you see that? See the magician? You see that symbol above that tarot card? I want to show y'all that. See, that's the same symbol on the tax. See, I got it even better. Where that motherfucker at? I got it even better. There you go. See,
the magician, y'all. The magician. The magician.
That's it. Why, that's why they was always talking about Merlin, Nimrod, two motherfuckers that existed in two different literatures. He done blended this shit together. Nimrod come out of the Bible and fucking Merlin come out of the goddamn British Isles. Now how the fuck they get together? I'm back to the goddamn point. He got the motherfucking magician on his head. Poof! 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 Here you go. See, there you go. Merlin. See, it's the same stuff. Go in any of his books and I guarantee you, Merlin is all through the goddamn book. The nigga even said, listen to this, that Abraham's daughter married Imhotep.
No, brother, we gotta keep the side chatter down.
Yeah, you know, that is just so disrespectful. So disrespectful. So disrespectful. That's right. Of course. See, now,
nobody said anything when play was on. I asked everybody to stop with the side talk. And I said at the beginning, if you're sensitive to some information, then this is not for you. Simple as that.
Go ahead, Teddy. Now, in 1989, Dr. Ben did his Jubilee year. That's 50 years. He had done 30 years in taking our people back home. Dr. Ben brought this Egyptian knowledge to our people. Like no other person. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. He brought you the 42 negative professors. He brought you all the knowledge. And the first people in this country with comedic names and Nubian names was those brothers and sisters raised up by Dr. Ben in the Nile Valley. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. But not at all did that nigga give Dr. Ben credit. He slandered him and went right down to Georgia and set their compound up like ancient Egypt. See what I'm saying? That's slander. That's thievery. That's plagiarism. You see, I didn't have to come in here and plagiarize that brother. I never said nothing negative about the brother at all. I wouldn't even call him like that. I didn't even know the nigga. I had to, until I did the debate, I had never seen the lecture. I had to go study the nigga. And when I went to study him, it was always an attack on people. But you, when you attack a motherfucker, you got to also come back with some humility and give them a way out. You gonna come in here and just beat up motherfuckers and think they gonna support you? What kind of shit is that? See what I'm saying? And so this is the problem when you see people attack people like that all the time. It's a self-hate going on. It's a self-hate. It's a self-hate. I support the brother in his endeavors, but I do not support him in how he slanders the Black Power community. And motherfuckers that gave the Nuwabians a pass. They even gave motherfuckers didn't really want to say nothing about Dr. York. You know the reason why I don't want to say nothing? Because I know when a motherfucker fights a case like that, real niggas do real things. Let the man do his thing. You understand me? I'm on, you know, the man trying to get out this, that, and the third. Let him do his thing. So motherfuckers kind of let a person slide on that. You understand what I'm saying? But how the fuck niggas is giving y'all a pass? But you come out here and get an eye ass. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all motherfuckers ain't doing that.
And if it is
some doing something, that's real. But it's a lot of them motherfuckers ain't doing shit. So, I mean, you can go in any goddamn community and point some motherfuckers out that ain't doing nothing. Don't represent the aspirations of the broader goddamn community. You think you're the only motherfucker that's teaching their babies? I mean, goddamn. I mean, there's people all over the goddamn country. Been, you know, self-schooling their babies at home. That's beautiful. Do that, brother. Continue to do that. But it's other people doing it. You're not doing it. They didn't come out here and say, nigga, you ain't talking to motherfucking baby shit. You know, they just do their good work. And pass the information is being passed in the community, and you don't hear the shit on the microphone. So you cannot crush people's aspirations. See, people want to be free in any way they know how. See what I'm saying? And then motherfuckers might not have the goddamn money. But it's in their heart. See what I'm saying? It's in their heart. And they're doing whatever they can do. And so when you come out here and crush down on people's aspirations, man, seriously, man, that's some self-hate. That's some goddamn self-hate going on inside. Let me keep moving. Okay. And so you see right here, Dr. Ben is at the temple of Karnak. It says Poseidon priest reciting prayer to Noon. Do you know what that was? That was 1980. Dr. Ben was in the temples. He wasn't in no makeshift shit down in Georgia. That's 1980. Look at this shit. This is 1986, and this nigga still talking about peace be unto no one. Huh? See, them is facts you just cannot dispute. Peace be unto fucking no one. And Dr. Ben blew that shit out with we the black Jews. We the black Jews don't pick the goddamn book up. He wrote, you know when he wrote that book, We the Black Jews? 1938. This nigga in 1986 talking about peace be unto no one. What fucking no one? You talking about what niggas teaching their goddamn babies? Man, you had you still at Dungeon Houston in goddamn 1920 was busting their ass with that shit. So how the fuck did you come in 1986 and teach them shit about no one? The nigga did not know nothing about ancient Egypt at all. Soon as you open up one of them goddamn books, he gonna shoot your ass right into Sumeria. Shoot your ass right into some crazy ass. You don't see no white dude on the goddamn temples of goddamn Egypt. You see the metal now. Which he did not teach. But he used the Egyptian regalia to lure your ass in. You know, you got to put cheese on the motherfucking trap, fam. You got to put cheese on the trap, fam. So, now, look at this. Now, Dr. Ben was 360 degrees high priest of the craft of Amun-Ra. Now, this nigga was Mufti in 1986. And when the nigga went down to Georgia, look at that. Just despite Dr. Ben, the nigga jumped up to 720 overnight. Now, I heard of a accelerated program, but goddamn, that shit off the meter. Well, you can't even show me when you got the first goddamn degree. Huh? You can't even show me when you got the first goddamn degree. And the nigga shot to 720. There's only one grand lodge in the world, and that's the one in Egypt. The Grand Lodge of Luxor. Ibn Asr. Go read Stolen Legacy. That's where all grandmasters and priests was raised up after 4 years. You had to go through this, and nobody can goddamn get double promoted in the crack.
When a person is insane, as you clearly are, do you know that you're insane? Maybe you're just sitting around reading Guns and Ammo, masturbating in your own feces. You just stop and go, wow, it is amazing how fucking crazy I really am.
What's good, people? It's your man, S-Dot. We're back for the debate between Sarah Suit and Seti and Brother Polite. Is the white man the devil, or are we our worst enemy? So you've heard the entire presentation, round one of Sarah Seti. He went for approximately 30 minutes of that 45 minutes talking about Dr. York and the Nuwabians. For those of us who actually attended the debate, you know, although a lot of that material was quite explosive, quite provocative, I was sitting in the second row, and the brother to my left at one point said to me, what does this have to do with the debate? And then the brother, two brothers to my right and the sister, we all began having a dialogue, and we each were like, yeah, this material is definitely controversial. It's definitely something that under, you know, most circumstances you'd be like, yo, this is crazy. But the premise of the debate was, is the white man the devil, or are we our worst enemy? So in looking at the theme of the debate and the content of what the debate was supposed to be, I would have to say that keeping that in mind, I didn't feel that Seti stuck to the topic that was supposed to be discussed. At the end, he threw in some the white man is the devil sort of things to kind of close it out. But for the most part, it seemed like this material was material that, and he did mention he'd been waiting around to use this, but it seemed like this was material that was more so geared towards the Nuwabian as opposed to being focused on, you know, dealing with what needed to be dealt with. So for that portion of it, I felt like a lot of the material wasn't, you know, consistent with what it was that we were supposed to be coming there for. So that being said, I was somewhat disappointed that, you know, we couldn't stay on topic. That being said, we're going to move on to round two and Brother Polite's presentation. So we're going to play the first clip of Brother Polite. We'll be back in a minute.
Sutek! Sutek, clap.
Ready? Let's go. You know what it is. We have become our own worst enemy. Did black people create white supremacy? That's what I want to focus on.
Right.
Did black people create white supremacy? White supremacy is a vehicle that gets instilled from black people. No black people, no deal. Can't go nowhere. This is true. Let's go next one. Y'all gonna understand eventually. That's why I like this debate. Because people tell you what I think. But today you got an opportunity to sit here and actually listen. There's some people who would never listen. And I already had 5 people come to me today. and say, brother, I had you misunderstood. I caught the wrong YouTube first. So let's get it. I definitely put out this one today. My Father's Keeper is a biographical sketch of my father's RPO. Because that's what he's been to me, nothing less. More than just a teacher, but a father to me. And he taught me not to get emotional and get crazy when somebody says things in contrast to what we deal with. But I want to make something clear. It's a slave mentality. When the white man says, this is our symbol and this is what it means, and we just embrace it as if the swastika didn't exist in Africa prior, as if the cross didn't exist in Africa prior. And now, because the white man and the white woman say, these are our symbols, because all we do is study slavery and study us being oppressed, we got no other choice but to concede that, hey, if a black man wears a symbol and the white man is wearing a symbol, then obviously the black man got the symbol from the white man. Every time I think I'm in the conscious community, I get let down. You say they burned down our libraries and they stole everything from us, but when you upset with a black man, then it's the white man. You see, the white man is a liar. He's weak and he's wicked. All he do is lie, up until the point when it's a brother that you dislike. Now the black man is guilty. Nigga shit. Yeah. That's what we call it. One word. It's not separate. One word. Nigga shit. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Look at this. What the hell? Shit. The hell does this guy do? We got to teach lecture etiquette. You know, like, if someone goes off for 30 minutes into a tangent off the subject, somebody just saves the brother from himself and say, yo, it's not about the white cops. Yo,
that's right.
Don't wrap it up in the last 2 minutes and talk about the white man.
Right.
But I know what it's about. Play, I told you. I get in people's head. I'm under their skin. I'm like another set of nerves. Look at this. White man ain't do that. Go to the U.S. Census. You'll find this is a diabetic foot, and this is a cancerous breast. You say, polite, what the hell do we care about that for? Well, cancer kills more black people than white people do. Diabetes kills more black people than white people do. In fact, diabetes kills more white people and black people than white people and black people do. And cancer kills more white people and black people than white people and black people do. Amongst each other or against each other. Both of them get their ass kicked by diseases that they both get. But the lower frequency in our community want to make each other the enemy. See, we're supposed to be smarter than that. You see, you hate when you don't understand. And when you get overstanding, you're supposed to confide in that reality and move forward. Disease kills us more than anybody. A woman chooses not to breastfeed because her nipple hurts or it cracks when she tries to feed her child. My nipples hurt. No, I ain't doing it no more. And this is the reality at the end, a decision the black woman chooses to make. Out of ignorance, we become our own worst enemy. Diabetes, the way we eat. I do not condemn the whole black power movement. I say, hey, we don't have to talk about the white man. Let's just talk about us. Let's keep each other straight. Same with change. Right? The white man is not in your house forcing you food. He's not making you go to 24-hour chicken spot. Niggas is thinking that's just another lecture by itself I want to debate on. Look at you. You see, I can say some slick shit about light skin, but when I say some chicken shit, y'all niggas is ready to go to war. I see more emotion come from the chicken. He better not to another minute on the chicken. The nerve of this nigga. I like it curried, I like it fried, I like it sauced. Come on. There ain't too much shit on planet Earth you guys are such about riots. I'm gonna leave the chicken alone, cause I know it's gonna get ugly. I'ma stick to the white man, black man shit. We don't want this shit to get out of control. And the word to get out on YouTube. That fight book out. So I'm gonna leave the chicken shit alone. So we talk about that within the confines of our own household, amongst friends.
Beautiful.
But disease kills us more than any race. And in fact, disease kills all the races.
Right.
And a lot of them are socio-economical surrogates of ignorance. And all this merely means is because of your financial disposition, because of your inability to execute economically, know how to appropriate your funds, we make poor decisions because we have little options, because people amongst us, not educated. But someone said, the white man ain't even hiring us and giving us no jobs. What are you bitching about? First of all, you said he's a devil. If I wear a meat suit in a lion's den, this just mean like fucking lion ass, just spit the shit out of me. Cause I got a meat suit on, this motherfucking lion thing, he can just bite people like that. I go in the water with an open cut, shark infested. I deserve to get bit. When I come out and I'm bit, I ain't gonna be doing no damn lectures on these sharks getting out of control, y'all. Black power. These sharks getting out of control. Black power! You gotta do something to these motherfucking sharks. They keep fighting niggas. Because you know the shark's nature. If you understand the nature, you back left to yourself. Because that's the most trickiest shit going on day to day. We still trying to figure ourselves out. And the more we hate other people, the further it takes us away from ourselves. And my brother can't even admit to himself that he's overwhelmed with my personality. But I don't do 30 minutes. I timed it, so we watched the DMVOC. I don't do 30 minutes on another brother.
Okay.
I'm not here to break down another elder.
Right.
I made a strong effort to make it clear that's not my intention. Because I would be practicing the very thing that I'm against today.
Okay.
We don't have to take people out of prison to bring them into a lecture where they can't defend themselves. Mm. Dr. Ben was in a white hospital. Okay? We got to change that. That's what we need to focus on.
Yeah.
And as for what my teacher says about other people, which is very interesting, because Dr. York, in his last day, being out here, spoke real high of Dr. Big.
Right.
Dr. York, in terms of racism, said he apologized to us for teaching us this. It was a school thought.
Yeah.
He did apologize. But we can't go into all those things. But I want to make it clear to people, because I'm a new Covenant member. I want to make it clear to people. Just because I have a teacher that I identify as my father, that was my name, everybody in my house, and when I had a name for my daughter, he told me, change the name, not accept it. I took it in. And one of my wives is the daughter of Dr. York. And I'm not over here trying to play myself and disrespect my brother here. I got to wait. Well, we better than that. We're supposed to be teaching.
That's right.
I come from the gang shit. This is not the place for it.
That's right.
So I said, today, I'm not going to go on my way to disrespect that brother's leadership for two reasons. It doesn't belong here. And number two, it doesn't belong here. And when people review the tape, anybody with any self-respect and integrity is going to be able to say, the time he took out to tear down two black men, and I'm sure he got more, he could have been educating you and giving you a plan. Did you get a plan of action?
No.
Did you get one from me?
Yes.
I qualified my time, took time out of my debate. But if people say he went on loose, we gonna win if we get a plan of action, even if we just get the wheels rolling. I took the time out, crunched the numbers, used my own money to make sure everybody can get a copy. So we don't leave here with the last thing in your mind is these two brothers are trying to tear each other down. I said, I'm gonna out-teach. And I'm 30 minutes over. Dr. York stole a legacy. He stole pyramids. What kind of book bag fits pyramids? You can't shoplift pyramids. He stole, watch the tape, he said, and he got the nerve to steal his legacy and do his own Egyptian thing. That's some nigga shit. One word, not two. Nigga shit. Look at this great and beautiful black man. Look what he's created for us. But you know, the white man's his land, though. Oh, I love when y'all say that. Because first of all, the land wasn't even in his name. Second of all, the land was properly protected. I'm not saying the white man's not going to do it if the land's not properly protected or is. I'm saying it makes it too easy when you don't do shit the right way.
Right.
Secondly, I want to make it clear, if my teacher says something and I say something different, you know why that happens? Because I'm not a slave. I'm free.
Right.
So my teacher make a mistake. You can't make his mistake my mistake. I'm a free man.
Right. Yeah.
Just because I join you, I don't have to follow everything you say. I listen to you for what I can take, and I use it to cultivate myself.
Right.
You cannot condemn me for another man's sin. So that shit was a whole waste. That was a waste of time and energy. And going to Dr. Ben and a bad talking to him about slander, in my opinion, I think that shit is evil. I look like going to my pops, telling him about what other people are saying. Negativity. We read negativity. We watch it in the media. We study negativity. Negativity. Another word. And we can't get away from it. We stay in this negative study for so long. We think forms of positivity is negative. Think about it. He built the land. Because he said, I'm tired of going to Egypt. Paying other races to see my own ancestors.
Right.
So when he built those pyramids, and he had snakes blowing water out their mouth, niggas said, but those stones ain't made of granite. They using cement for those stones. But you niggas is paying to see your own ancestors. You funding your own oppression. Could they take that money, flip it, and use it on guns to bring you down? Fuck a pyramid. I pay to see someone alive before I pay to see one of my ancestors be sold to be dead. Taking photo ops. While niggas are starving all the way across Africa, you taking photo ops. Listen, man, I got love for my brother. It don't matter, because I understand when people are sick, they're supposed to do sick things. So I don't condemn people no more. I appreciate you for who and what you are. Because if you could be against me, you have to be out your mind. Let's go to the next one. Next one. Like I said, this is the testimonial. This is a testimonial. Oh, we're going to talk about childhood stuff too, behavior. We're going to talk about it. It's actually there, the white man talked about it. No, that's a reference someone said. Someone said something about childish behavior. No, somebody said something about it. I was speaking in reference. Because we were told no one's supposed to be doing this when I'm talking.
That's right.
Like I said, I feel totally guilty for bringing this case against Malachi. This is the FBI's lead witness, Habib Washington. Niggas said that Dr. York did. But when the person that led the charge said they was coerced by the FBI, that's why they made up the story. Niggas turned their heads and didn't want to listen to the rest. Because you hated that man. Because he did something you wanted to do. You want to be a teacher? Sometimes infatuation is infatuation. Sometimes you could love someone so much you start hating them. Because you want to be where they at. So person starts off innocent. But if you want them struggling, and that person has momentum, unfortunately a lot of teachers couldn't embrace God. Because he was so proud. And he should be. Because he gave us a language. But yo, it ain't the real Egyptian language. Nigga, you don't say that about the Jews' Yiddish. See that?
We are at the 11 o'clock hour. Caller 832 and Poverty Supreme. I have both of your mics open. I'm going to open your mics now. While we're playing the clips, just please mute your mics so that everyone is able to hear the dialogue. Caller from the 832, do you have a question or comment?
Greetings, brother. This is Brother Elias.
What's good, brother?
Hey, not much. You know me, bro. I'm Brother Light. You know that brother. He's living it, you know, and that's one thing that person such as myself who have a tremendous amount of experience in the black cause and the black community, that I know for a fact who soldiered with Khalid, you know, when he was the minister in the mosque, and, you know, who dealt with Silas and Solomon and all the brothers that's been represented in their own particular way, trying to resurrect us. And now getting to the point of being getting a little older, you know, talk is cheap, really. You know, a lot of talking is cheap. And even back when we go to Noble Drew Ali and even all the rest, it's been us, it's been our hands, you know, that's afflicting ourselves, because you and I are old enough to even look within our own time period and see it's us that's literally harming ourselves. And it seemed like we just can't go to another level. You know, we don't want to eat right. I mean, we just don't want to do what we know is right. And like I tell people when I talk to them, what makes me different from most people is I listen to their advice, and they don't listen to their own advice. You know, so I know this debate, and, you know, it's a good thing that brothers are doing that. But sticking to the topic, you know, Brother Polite stuck to the topic. I think the brother doing an excellent job on a personal level. And what he taught tonight, what he's speaking, is beyond truth. And I believe that brother has done, again, an excellent job being, you know, representing for us. You know, like I said, not just talking, but actually doing physical and practical things. You know, like myself, I'm going to be building my own house, my own land, growing my own food, and all that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, talk is cheap. And again, somebody who's been around all the leaders as a young man, you know, young adult, at the end of the day, it's about your work. You know, when they put the period behind your name, it's what have you done? You know, not about what this person said, because, you know, you can be mad one day and then you can apologize and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. But it's a man's works, you know. But that's my little part, brother.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that, you know, and I got love for both Polite and Pathetic, you know. As I said from the outset of the program, one thing that I've noticed in a lot of the clips that have popped up, you know, since the debate, we're only on Wednesday, and I've seen a number of clips that have popped up on YouTube. Folks have been weighing in. And many of the folks who are weighing in with an opinion are folks who neither were there or didn't even see the debate online. But they're weighing in already with a perspective based on hearsay and speculation. And I think that a lot of folks that are weighing in without really sitting down and looking at the substance of the content that was presented. You know, I heard one sister today on YouTube, and her perspective is, you know, she feels that Seti won the debate. And her reasoning, I mean, her clip was about 20, 25 minutes long, and she went on about all of the Seti's realness, and Seti's down for this, and Seti's down for that. And all of that, okay. But at the end of her clip, I recognized the sister because she was sitting probably about two or three rows back from me in the debate. And I recall her, you know, screaming out and different things like that throughout the debate. And I was just thinking, like, were we at two different debates? Because I listened to round one of Seti's presentation, and although a lot of the stuff that he said was definitely some stuff that makes you stop and think, it wasn't consistent with what the theme was for the debate.
Right.
It was for me, as a person who's been to a lot of debates, for me, I was like, you're not on the topic. At the end, you talk about, okay, the white man's a devil that just ended up so that you hit the, you know, the theme.
but you went for 30 minutes talking about Malachi York and Aleister Crowley and symbolism and all of that. None of that had to do with what his premise was. And his premise was the white man is the devil. So therefore, I would have liked to have heard examples from everyday life that illustrated that perspective. All of this discussion about Nubians and Dr. York and all of that other, I mean, that could have been a YouTube clip, you know. You could have just stood in front of the camera one day and presented that information. And folks could have, you know, saw that information and ooh and ahed over it, and, you know, and then folks could have had discussion about that. And that would have been cool. Or you could have had a lecture in which you were, like, exposing Dr. York, if that's what you wanted to call it, and you could have presented that material in that format. But if you're coming to a lecture and to a debate and the theme is the white man the devil, and you affirm that that's your position, but you're not putting forth any substantial material that supports that position, then I've got to say, regardless of how compelling that material may be, I've got to say that you're not winning the debate to me, at least not that round.
Right.
Okay. I mean, does that sound crazy to you?
No, that sounds clear, but one thing, you know, in 1975, when Worth Dean was taking over the nation, and he was talking one thing about Malcolm. See, when a person become a corporation, then you really have to be careful what you say. So a lot of these people who've been following SETI, they under the auspices of he's a corporation, they already had their mindset. They already been a cheerleader. They're not critical thinkers. So that's to be expected because that's consistent throughout history. And if you notice SETI's work throughout his time period, you know, that's what he's been all about. For, you know, like I said, for seasoned brothers like you and myself, you know, I really didn't expect nothing different. That's why I listened to keep support, you know, because I still got my one foot in, you know. But somebody who's been literally living the work, you know, I have a very, very different perspective, you know, getting to an older age, meaning that I need to start taking care of myself. So, again, it ends with your actions. So when the subject was the white man's the devil, and the brother was given solutions on how to get out in comparison to somebody just attacking a person. Say, for instance, it was a 10-hour lecture. You know, that brother, the new Wabian brother, you know, Dr. York, he'd been speaking for many years. He got tons of lectures, you know, because I remember when I was younger, I was 19 years old in the early 90s, I remember listening to Dr. York's lecture, and he spent like an hour talking against Farrakhan. I listened to Farrakhan. Farrakhan was sticking to the subject, so that made me want to listen to him a little more. But that was at a particular time. You know, Dr. York do have a pattern of attacking and then reclining, you know what I'm saying, because he went against Brother Khalid, and they had a battle. You know, but, again, everybody got their behaviors and patterns, but, you know, dealing with to the subject, you know, yeah, I think Brother Polite did an excellent job. And for those who are not connected to the corporation context, meaning that, you know, they always been down with SETI, you know, really sit back and listen. And like the brother said, you know, five people shook his hand or what have you and said, yo, you know, I didn't really get a chance to hear you, but now I got a chance to hear you, and I listened to what you said, and you're right. And I think the common person with just basic common sense should come to that same conclusion if they don't have a, you know, ulterior motive or something on the inside, because listening to solutions in comparison to listening to somebody just bash in one lecture, you know, like I said, a person just common sense would just sit back and say, okay, with the subject, with the title, with the topic, the white man is the devil, or we are the problem. And I believe from a person who is not a Facebook, you know, or internet Messiah, but somebody who put, since he was a young child, literal footwork in the soil, that been with these people who passed away, I know for a fact a man is weighed on his works, not most of the time on his words. At the end of the day, you went on your works. So, Brother Pelay, doing it, he's living his works, and he's teaching a positive message, and he's very focused, and he's consistent. That's another being consistent. We can't find too many people. Yeah, we can say Brother Sarah said he's consistent on what he do. So we applaud him for that. But from my perspective, listening to the context of what you presented, I didn't get a chance to listen to nothing else. But what you presented, I think Brother Pelay did a very nice job according to the subject. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry, bro.
Oh, okay. No.
We're going to play another clip of Brother Pelay's round two presentation. So you could just, because we're in overtime now, so just hit mute on your phone so that there's no background noise to protect the integrity of the recording. So for those of you who are listening on the archive, this is round two of Brother Pelay's presentation. And this is the second clip. We'll be back in a minute.
See that? It's pig life. Pork. Slavery. It's pig life. It's the shit we read. It's the stuff we read. It's a beautiful thing if a black man gives his people a language instead of them speak the one that was physically imposed on them. Why not? But you see, we found something wrong with that. We become our own worst enemy. There's a lot of good you can take from the brother, but you need to find the bad. It satisfies your ego so you don't have to work harder. You got to make something wrong with it, because if you don't, you got to get a bigger language. You got to come up with a more detailed language. You see, if we don't hate it, we have to become responsible. Responsibility, responsibility. We have to hate each other so we can stay lazy. We can't appreciate nothing that we do good amongst each other. I mean, let's be for real. Who did without the oath? Did only one ever came close was Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's not front. You can hate the man all you want. Hate him all you want. But truth is truth. He ain't steal no damn pyramid. He didn't go down Georgia and pull some shit out of his back pocket that belonged to Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben is flop. So is Dr. Young. So is Clarence 13X. So is all of them. We don't have to pin their doctors against each other. We as their students are supposed to make sure we don't fall into the same egotistical trap that they fell in when they were teaching. I told people I don't have to make this personal to win. I told people I'm smart enough to just be smart and win. I don't have to tear someone down. The same person who talks about it spends their whole lecture tearing down, but doesn't give you nothing constructive that you can use. It's true. FBI lead witness, I don't feel that it is right that he is in jail right now because all of us were angry. And we all got together and agreed to this case. And we went ahead with it. And now he's facing life in jail. This is on my YouTube channel. I don't think he should be incarcerated because of that. I'm going to go to the next highlight point. But nobody should be sent to jail because of a bunch of lies and what was said on that stand was a bunch of lies. It doesn't matter if the head or the lead witness says it. Niggas set in their ways. I already don't like it. So this time around, the white man is right. Every other time, he's definitely wrong. Let's go to the next one. See, this black power shit is very seductive if you start hating too much. If you hate too much, you got reasons why not to be successful. You got reasons why not to appreciate each other if you hate too much. I told you, if you hate white people and you're not doing nothing to them, you're still going to work, you're still sending your children to school, you're going to have misappropriated hate and you're going to give it to your own people since you're not using it against the people that perpetrate the crimes against you that you feel with that conviction. If you don't do something with that energy, you're going to misappropriate it. There she go again. Everybody started venting in the car about different things that we didn't like. This is at the bottom left-hand corner. It didn't have nothing to do with child molestation. It had nothing to do with any criminal act. It was just different things. Normal things that you don't like about growing up. You know, we might have had an argument with Malachi here and there. And we brought up situations. Jacob kind of fed off of that anger. And he convinced all of us that we should take the anger, and we should go to the government with a story about his father. And then Jacob York said in an interview that I got on my channel, until one day we are all riding to Miami together, right? And all of a sudden this whole big thing came out. I mean, I go to Miami for Memorial Weekend every year anyway. You know, that's just one of my places. I go to Miami actually 10 times a year. I decided I'm going if y'all want to roll with me. We'll rent some rooms, everybody chip in, and we'll ride down there. Ended up starting out with 5 people. Then it ended up being 25 people. And you know, you understand, we all grew up together. And in turn, by chance, this little Miami Beach thing, everybody that went, everybody testified against us. By coincidence. He just had the money all of a sudden. Black people being their own worst entity. Let's go to the next one. Now, of course, I didn't help a lot of these people. Yeah, now, of course, I did help a lot of these people get jobs. What a coincidence. I did help them, you know, get their lives together, help them get apartments, you know, like I did that for a lot of them. Sure, not a problem. And a lot of them ended up being witnesses. A lot of them wound up being witnesses, or half of them, whatever. I just have to get them jobs. I just have to pay for their trip. It just has to be 5. I just have to turn to 25. And like half of them, or all of them, one of the two, all of them just testified. Just all happened like that. We all have to be upset with them. And we all have to be broke. So I was exploited because of my economic disposition. Someone saw our weakness. They saw. And we're going to read the quote that corresponds with that now. To bring out the fact that all of these witnesses went on a trip to South Beach, Miami. We got to think about that. Then you have Oprah and Martin Williams show. This is the right here. We're going to go through it. Sakina Parham. She had a custody battle with Doc. Like the other sister that was with her, how is this? Sakina Parham had charges against her for abusing my son, just as Dr. York talking from the House of Patmos CD. And she knew that she had filed child support in Clark County for me, but not in Putnam County, along with Pauline Rogers, another female, disgruntled. Well, I went to court in Fulton with Pauline Rogers, and I won legal custody of my children, and Sakina Parham got scared because she knew, came to court there, and they found out she had abused my child. You had two people who had been disgruntled with Dr. York. Here goes Nicole Ada Lopez, who was an admitted child molester, who took the stand against Dr. York because she was granted immunity. Go to the next one. This is her. And this is the sister right here, in the middle, on the left, at the bottom, in the middle. Farah Muhammad, who said that her brother was molested by this person. Who do they get to take the stand? People that are already in compromising positions. Black people did it. The white man just came to the land. First of all, there was black people in uniform too when they took the land. One. Second of all, the land was owned by 9 other parties, none of which is Dr. York. Two. Third of all, before they can get the incentive to be able to take the land, they have to convince our people that it's okay to do it. They have to get a subtle, indirect confirmation that they can do it because they know all hell will break loose if we don't do this right. So they have to build a story and use black people to build it. They don't use white. So you say he just took the land. No, he had to build a story amongst disgruntled blacks. That was so emotional. Their emotions superseded their intelligence. And thus they were used against their own. Later to say, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to go this far. We become our own worst enemy. Let's keep going. Look at this. We're going to go to Africa. According to PBS, we're going to go right down here. PBS African American Series Companion Book. And here's some more sources. I've been missing out on those. Here's some more sources. Africans in America, PBS 1998, Wonders of the African World, PBS 1999, and the African Trade History Channel International 2000. Just to give you some places where you can go to find some more of this information. But what we'll go straight to, more than 20 million Africans will be kidnapped in their own homeland. It's especially to show you Africans were enslaving Africans.
That's real.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy? We ain't gonna go there yet. Let's keep going. We ain't gonna go there. And they did it in the Congo. In fact, the Congo set it off with the Portuguese. Because Prince Henry did, like Spain did with Christopher Columbus, and funded a mission because they got tired of the middleman when they were getting salt and gold from the Moors. And it said, man, it's building our economy. We're going to find a direct route to West Africa. Let's fund some missions in our endeavor to find out how can we get in when they came. They wound up being able to get slaves from black people from Argentina. And they found out these black slaves were way more stronger than their white slaves. The white people was enslaving white people up in Europe. This is in the 1400s. About 1444, the Dutch started coming in. The Spanish started coming in because black people were selling to all of them. But don't worry, we got some references for you. Look at my man, Olinda Aquiana. He was kidnapped at the age of 11 and sold to Nigerian slave masters, black slave masters, as an indentured slave, then later sold again and later on purchased his freedom from work in Britain. This is the book called Interesting Narrative of the Life of Olinda Aquiana, or Gasaris Plaza, the African. It was first published in 1789 and considered the first influential slave autobiography in Britain. This is a book from a slave that was kidnapped by black people, then sold to black people. This is a direct elaboration on a slave account of being enslaved by black people. Let's go next one. Woo! And people don't like this. They just think black people perfect. No, we all make mistakes. But you ain't about to tell me that, oh, white man's stubborn and when we do something wrong. I mean, come on. My child hits another child in the head and they're 6 or 7 years old. I do not think of faith. You know we can't beat our child because, after all, I mean, the white man's the reason why the child is hitting another child. We don't do shit like that.
That's right.
But then when this child becomes 21 years old, they no longer have to be accountable for their actions. So the children are more accountable and the adults aren't? What's going on with this doctrine? No, the only reason the black man is doing this is because the white man. Up until the black man that you don't like, then it's actually true. I don't like this crazy doctrine.
Right.
That's why I don't respect it. I love the people. I don't respect the double talking.
Right.
Here's the book. Here's another black man that was enslaved by his own people. I'm not giving you white people's accounts. I'm giving you black men's accounts of what took place on those slave ships. Some of those images you hang up is the end result of black people selling black people to black people that sold them to white people.
Right. That's true.
The slaves wrote it themselves. We ain't going to be picky and choosy. Because I ain't bring no white man's account. Y'all ain't going to let me get with that. So now something wrong with the slave for telling the truth about what black people did to them? Tell the truth. You know why this shit went on in Africa? Same reason why shit going on over here today. We either blood or we crip. We get blood slides, we Sunni Muslim. We ancient Egyptian and we can't respect each other's culture. We got to tear each other down. Same shit in Africa. We got scars here. We got big lips over here. We got the big ears over here. In search for our identity that is exclusive, we become so ethnocentric, we start imposing life on other people. So because we're trying to differentiate ourselves from each other, we didn't even see each other as part of the same race, more or less, because we're from different tribes.
Right.
And you know, when you meet Africans from Africa, they give you this feeling like shit is going to be uncomfortable if you niggas start coming over here.
Yep.
Don't front like you don't get this vibe, like they don't see you like you black too. Don't front like you don't feel it. I'm not saying all Africans, but many of us in here experience this kind of condescending vibes, like they don't think we all can get beat upside our head for racism. It's that tribal shit. It's that blood crip shit. It's that Hebrew like BPC, Black Panther, not to say that they advocate that ignorance. It's to say sometimes people get so caught up in their own cultural identity and insecurity, they gotta put other people's cultures down. So here's the slave's account. I'm gonna read through a bit of it. But when the vessel arrived, this is Odoba, Kugano. Slave wrote it. Just like all the slave books. Look at the white man's approach. Can't win. But when the vessel arrived to conduct us away to the ship, it was the most horrible thing. Listen to this. Because we were told what happened on the slave ship, but this time around, you're going to be told it. Coming from a brother who on the ship, the beater, the cracker with the black people. I got some shit to show you in the book. In the book, I got a slave master that had white house niggas watching black people. Instead of calling people house niggas, That don't mean it's limited to black people. It needs slave accounts. Why would the white man teach you that he alone enslaved you? He alone was able to enslave you in Africa. He alone was able to bring you to Brazil. No problem. The second highest population of African Americans. He alone was able to come to America and enslave you. Why do you suppose he has to teach you this? Why don't he give his fellow African demon the credit? Because he has to enforce a fiction to you. White supremacy is a fiction. It don't even exist. If he lets you know that you participated in your own demise, then you will have confirmation that you can come up and it's not that difficult. All you have to do is stop trying to bring each other down. So he has to teach you that I did it. So he can embed fear into your psychology. He's teaching you. He's more to let you know black people had a hand in it. So you can get scared. Because this shit scares me. When I'm like, yo, they just came to Africa, what? 1,000 men? And just overthrew millions of Africans? That shit is like scary shit. I'm like, yo, I feel you on that, white man, though.
That is clip number 2 from Brother Polite's round 2 presentation. And his position is, are we our own worst enemy? So, go to the line, see what people have to say.
I'm here, brother. Now, I want to say this. What we've got to remember, right, is that when I watched the DVD, right, when I watched it on the internet, right, at the start it said they what's his name, Sutek, was saying to Polite, and he made it known that Polite has, he helped organize the event. That means he stands to make money from the event, right? I feel that he manipulated Seti into going that route by mentioning his teachers, because I've heard the build up, and on another show I heard that he was attacking someone, called in and said to Seti on what's it, Inky's show, saying, well, he attacked the teacher, what's his name, Khalid Muhammad, by bringing forth the Farrah Gray. Now I understand what you guys are saying, you never come with nothing potent in the sense of the white man's the devil, right? But at the end of the day, that is what he has to prove. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Because he's the one who obviously, and he was the one who challenged him to this debate, right? And that's what he has to prove. He didn't prove that the white man ain't the devil. And yes, he's bringing in the house niggers. Yeah, there was a lot of house niggers who were involved in it. The house niggers are the ones who are keeping us glued to this system right now. You know, he tells people things like we should vote and stuff like that. I don't see him trying to go outside of this devilish system and do his thing. Now, look at the brother just called in and he said he grows his own fruit and his own, you know, he grows his own stuff. Why does he do that? Because he don't trust the white man. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why he goes, that's why he's producing his own crops to eat. That's why he's doing that. Because the white man is the devil. Bottom line. And yes, we've got a problem with house niggas. For me, house niggas are the biggest problem today. There's no doubt about it. And that's what I feel that Polite was bringing us to that point where he was, you know, he was basically bringing up the house niggas, which are the Moors. The Moors were the ones who gave him the map, gave Columbus the map, and the Spanish and the Portuguese the maps for them to go around, the Caribbean and the Americas, you know, which they stole from Timbuktu, from the Mali people, because the Mali people went to America in the 14th century, just before Columbus, you see. So at the end of the day, I see what's being done, but for me, and if you don't see it, I'm saying to you that Polite manipulated Seti to go down that route because he knew that, you know, he was banking on the fact that upset, he would jump on, jump all over Dr. York. You see what I'm trying to say, brother? I think that was a manipulation. It was a mind manipulation. And I feel that Polite is a master of the mind manipulation. He showed it there with the debate.
Hey, brother, let me ask something there for you, brother. Let me make something clear about where I stand. One thing that I don't understand what people do, we always give, like Christians do, they always give Satan more power than with the power within themselves.
But
see, that's one thing that you got two grown men, first of all, that have their own intelligence, that have their own divine soul energy that lives within themselves, that's divine, that's higher than their physical flesh. You got two grown men, as I reiterate. Now, as black people and most people in this world, I'm not just talking about, but most people on this planet spend more time accusing someone else having more power than we do. Okay, now, number one, I understand the spiritual law of existence. That's why I grow the things and do the things for myself, not because the white man's the devil. Our first law is to sustain thyself and to protect ourselves as human beings in existence. That's our responsibility. I think it's weak and soft-hearted to not to want to do something for yourself.
No,
you
that's
see,
the
argument. Like I said, talking is cheap. So if a person is telling another grown man that he is more superior and he can manipulate him, again, that's the biggest excuse that most people have, no matter what race it is. Well, this person, no, get up and do it yourself. Like I tell people who argue and talk down on Monsanto's and these scientists, I say, well, what have you done for the past 20 years? You got a little kid, 7 years old, studying for 20 years about the apple. The universe is going to give him the answer, how to manipulate the answer. So you got most people sitting on their behinds and not putting in the work. So, yes, the universe is going to bless people like Monsanto's and, you know, people that create chemtrails and stuff because they put 20, 30 years on one subject. Why we put 20, 30 years on sports and ignorance? So that's why we professional in sports and silly behavior, and you got other people that put professionals and manipulating nature. Nature will not give you nothing easy. You understand? Whoa. Nature, those who put work in it. So you put your work on, and you will get your blessing.
But listen, brother, I hear what you're trying to say, and respect to you, but again, the reason why when I say the white man's the devil, I don't mean it to mock, and I don't think I'm giving them any power. You understand? I don't deal with the people. I don't deal with them in no sort of way. And yes, we should all do for ourselves. And I don't see Seti begging the white man for anything. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Both men are doing the exact same thing. They're trying to do for self. I don't see them, but I don't see Seti asking the white man for anything. And I don't see him trying to lead people into the system. When Obama was had the election just before he got his second term, I heard Polite saying we should vote on that. What he's trying to do, for me, when you're telling someone to vote, you're integrating someone into the system at that point. Because if you're sound right reasoning, and me as a master of 20th century politics, the devil needs the votes. Any political party needs votes. They need you to believe in the system. In poorer countries like Jamaica, that's where my family's from, and African countries, what they do, the poor people of the country, they get rebels. Opposition parties use rebels to force the people into voting. Why is that? Because if you have 10 men, right, me and you are saying we want to lead these people, right? Me and you want to lead these people. And say, for example, 2 people vote for me, 3 people vote for you. The other 5 don't vote, right? You can't really, it's going to be hard for you now. You've won the vote outrightly. But with a 50-50 break, that the other 5 people, you know to yourself, them other 5 people, if you've got any sense, you know they don't respect your leadership. They don't even respect the leadership thing at all. So they're going to be, you know, with common sense, if you were going to battle with these men, right, you know that at least five men and the other two don't even, two of them don't want you to be in power, and then the other five men, they never voted, you know they don't care for the leadership. So you're going to feel, well, you know, when you're going to battle, you're going to feel a bit naked. If your three men who did vote for you get killed or something, you're going to feel naked rolling with these other five men that didn't vote, don't believe in the vote, and two of my men that voted for me. Do you see what I'm trying to say, my brother? Do you see these
brother, I understand you're saying, because we're kind of off the subject now. I don't know how far we're going to get off the subject.
I'm saying, because you're saying that Polite's doing the work and stuff like that, you know. But what I'm saying to you is that this guy, he's trying to integrate people into a system, into a broken house, into a house that is crumbling worldwide.
But brother, you got to have faith in people's divine, right? One thing that you're going to have to respect, each human being have a divine soul, and they have a divine intelligence. And if they give that power away, that's like the people in power. I don't believe in going to a home that you're going to get your head beat over. You have the divine right to use your own hands and your strength to go and do something for yourself. Leave whatever you're not wanted. Okay, so again, we can say, oh, yeah, man, he put Sarah. I said, but Sarah is a man himself, and I guarantee he got some money too. Okay, but the fact of the matter is we got to be responsible. If we
don't want to be responsible
for ourselves.
Brother, I don't doubt what you're saying. I respect every word that you say, and you are doing the correct thing, you know. And what I'm saying is that, you know, at the end of the day, when we say you don't, deep down, you don't trust the devil. You don't trust white folk, because that's why you're growing your own crops. There's plenty of fruit in the shop to buy, and it's probably, you could get in a shorter time, and it's cheaper. You understand? Probably cheaper than the way you're doing. You see what I'm trying to say? But you don't know. So you know who the devil is deep down. Whether you want to accept that they're the devil or not, but you don't. You know deep down who the devil is. You don't trust these people. That's why you don't buy their food. That's why you grow your own food in your back garden. If you could trust them,
wait a minute. Isn't that my right to do that?
Well, it's your
right. You see
right.
The thing about it. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's what I'm talking about. So instead of saying, well, Monsanto's is making seedless fruit and all that kind of stuff, I say, okay, yeah, this young man spent 20, 30 years studying these apples, so I'm going to respect. Let me get my part in. I'm going to respect what the universe does. The universe respects those who respect themselves, put that work in. So I say, okay, now from a spiritual perspective, studying the universe, even women, when a woman is mad at you and she's cooking the food, you can taste the food. The food have negativity energy in it. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to be completely self-sufficient and responsible, there's so much free stuff on the internet nowadays. There's no excuse. You don't have to live into a city. You know, they sell 3 or 4 acres for only a couple $1,000s. You can build stuff with your own hands. And again, a lot of white people is doing that, living off the grid. Okay, so the fact of the matter is, we are divine human beings with our destiny, and we need to start respecting who we are. God nor the devil can stop you from what your will is going to allow you to do. And until we recognize that, you understand? So we recognize, I don't got to be in New York. I don't got to be in Jamaica. You know, let me put a couple of pennies together and be in a 15-year on this project. There's nothing wrong with continuing to still a project.
One of the things that I feel is that, you know, just as, you know, you hear some folks who are of a religious perspective, let's say, for instance, folks who classify themselves as Christians, everything that happens or doesn't happen in their life, they attribute it to something else. It's like faith becomes an acronym for false attribution intended to hinder rather than help. Because everything is, well, Jesus, oh, Jesus, right? So oftentimes these folks will say things like, I'm just waiting on the Lord or waiting on the Lord. But then you say to them, well, didn't the Creator endow you with the ability to do all it is that you need to do? You say you're waiting on the Creator. Well, maybe the Creator is waiting on you, waiting on you to demonstrate your ability to do what it is that you've been called to do. And by the same token, I look at folks who, and I grew up in a household where it was very much the white man is the devil. That was the theology that we grew up with. Now, at some point in my life, I had to recognize that I was just giving too much energy to folks. This is why I renamed this show The Black Love Experience, because I think that black love is kryptonite to racism, white supremacy. We don't have to keep standing around talking about and focusing on folks who we know are oppressing us and mistreating us. Those conversations, we've been having them for nearly 500 years. We know what the problem is. The solution is we've got to start dealing with what our issues are and learning how to heal from what we can heal from, address what we can address, and learning how to love ourselves rather than just keep reinforcing the negative stereotypes about ourselves over and over again and always scapegoating it with either Jesus or white people.
Brother, I hear what you're saying, and the brother there, I can tell that you're a metaphysical man now and spiritualist. Now, we all know that the main constructs for me of spirituality is truth. And only thing that I can talk about on a metaphysical scale would be truth and falseness. Now, are you trying to tell me that the white man ain't the devil? That's the debate. Whether I agree that it's not even a constructive debate, because the white man is the devil. And for me, again, as I said, this is all polite, instigated, and he just wants to test his skills in knowledge. He wants to test himself by trying to take on Seti. At the end of the day, he was the one. Because everyone has that teaching that the white man is the devil, as far as I'm concerned, he has to prove that the white man ain't the devil. And he never proved that, from what I'm hearing so far. And I watched the first round, but I didn't watch the second round, all of the second round. And he ain't proved to me that the white man ain't the devil. And he ain't showed no potent or palatable solutions to black people living in shit.
I don't... Because I was at the debate, and from what I heard him say, he wasn't supposed to prove that the white man ain't the devil.
But
he was supposed to prove that we are our own worst enemy.
Oh,
that was the premise of his discussion.
Yes, I hear that. But I hear that. And the things that he's saying, I'm sure the whole conscious community understand that already. You know? For me, the only way he could have won that is by, you know, the tactics that he tried, which was going to go the wrong way, which it did. That's why you had that sister on the net who said what she said. You know, I speak to that sister as well. I know that sister. So, you know, that's why she said what she said, right? And at the end of the day, right, he's coming, that's easy to prove. Obviously, we are our own worst enemies. But at the end of the day, these devils put, like, for example, with the food. These devils put chemical additives that make people drawn, compelled to it, make our bodies want it even more. Like McDonald's. Once you start eating McDonald's, I don't care who you are, how spiritual you are, or whatever. If I give you McDonald's for 3 days running, right? And all you eat is McDonald's, you're going to crave that shit after that. It's going to be a problem for you. Now, furthermore, if I made you eat McDonald's for 2 weeks straight, you and I just said, all right, you don't have to eat McDonald's no more, that's going to be a fight for you to stop eating McDonald's. If I made you eat McDonald's for 2 weeks, it's going to be a fight for you after that day to stop eating McDonald's off your own back.
So let me use your example that you just used. So if you've been raised on a diet of the white man is the devil,
yes,
you're going
to be
consistently seeking that out as a comfort food, the white man is the devil, because
that's what you've grown accustomed
to eating. That's your
brother,
diet.
Brother, I grew up in the UK. I didn't grow up on that teaching. And I think if I knew that teaching, and I knew who the half niggers were, which was another good point, if I understood who half niggers were, because I was just like any other youth who didn't know who the devil was, right? And I listened to the hip-hop music that came straight out of America, your Tupacs, your Jay-Z, your Lil Wayne's, your 50 Cent's, your Eminem's, you know. I listened to that shit, and that was my, what can I say, my religion. Gang, went into gangbang. What if a man looked at me wrong, I want to kill him. There weren't no, that had nothing to do. If I knew who the devil was and I knew that they put these drugs on in the community, you can't just say the white man's the devil. You need to come with proofs. Why? What are they doing? Why are they the devil? You can't just put it out there. But when you understand that they put the drugs in our communities to get us all hooked on it so that we're not doing anything destructive. When you understand, when you look at
brother,
the sisters.
Brother, you got to understand.
When you look at the sisters, brother, listen.
Hold on one second, brother. You're making these points. Listen, man. You are a divine being. You have to refuse that. There's two types of simple-minded man right now. Okay?
I can't hear you too, though, no, brother. Say that again. The brothers
who are watching me. You mean not, but I'm at the okay. There are two types of people in this world. They
okay.
got a person that watch those who come before them, and they watch their mistakes. And you got a person that has to bump their head to make mistakes. Brother, God and the universe and your soul always give you an opportunity to see what's wrong, even though you have, these other. You have one that you saw every who were older, literally through their trying to tell you what to do. And if you think stuff is these people are like, people are not that bad. These people are not that awesome. Not over your own divine self. You see, and you listen to most people, they give their power over to somebody else, and God and you.
I can't hear the bother you, man.
And your lungs going to get it. So you are responsible. I think life, that's a different story. But if you got the opportunity to people, many years older than you, you saw and you just never
Esther, can you hear the brother? I can't hear him. Is it me? Is it me, Esther? Is it my line messed? Because I can't hear the brother.
No. It may be my line. Because where I'm at, can you hear me clear now? Can you hear me, brother?
But I can get the gist of what he's saying. But unless you want to play the other parts, Seti's parts again, you know. Does Seti have a round two?
Well, we're running low on time. We got only 9 more minutes left in the actual overtime feed. I'm actually going to do a part two to the show tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because I want people to be able to hear the entirety of the debate. So tomorrow night at 10 p.m., I'm going to go from 10 to midnight. And we're going to play the conclusion. I got another clip from Brother Polite, which will be the end of his part two. And then I've got 3 clips from Sara Seti, which will be his round two.
Well, may I ask, brother, what state are you in so that I can know the time?
I'm in New York.
Okay, so you're 6 hours. Yeah, okay. You're 6. Right now it's 10 o'clock. Right now,
right now where I am, it's now about almost 12 o'clock.
Okay. So I know when to come on. So you're going to be, all right. I'll be back tomorrow, brother. Definitely. And I can get the gist of what the brother there is saying, but what I'm saying is that when you don't know who the devil is and you're not clear on who the devil is, you, like when I was younger and me not having no sort of consciousness like you guys in America have, and I never grew up in a family where I knew that the white man was the devil. If anything, we looked at white people like they were gods. And that's the majority of black folk. We looked at white folk like, look at the things that they do. We as black people, when I grew up, I didn't have no history. We didn't get no history like, we made pyramids and all this type of things. We never got that. So
for me, black people
were my biggest. I used to hate. If you weren't my friend, I would have killed a black man quicker than I would have killed a white man. You understand?
What I think I'm hearing from you is this, and I understand it, is that when an individual is new to consciousness of themselves and their culture, there is a tendency to want to say, you're angry because you're finding out things about yourself and about people like you that you never knew existed. And once you find out all of this information has been kept from you, it makes you very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a household in which I had an African-centered household. So mm-hmm. I always had a sense of knowing my cultural identity. So I didn't have to go through that process that some folks go through who didn't grow up with that sort of information, and then they discover the information later in life. But I understand how that can impact the person.
Yeah, and I think that a majority of the reason why we're in the situation that we're in and why we're so quick to pick up a gun and kill our brothers, right, and sisters, is because we don't know, enough of us know, the basic, that the white man is innately evil, at least. We've got to understand that. These people are innately evil. Whether we want to accept the devil term or not, these people are innately tend to go the hell side. You know, these people are innately evil. From, you know, this is just how they are. I'm yet to find an actually good white person or actually a good, you know, natured white person who's all about peace and love. You know, I'm yet to find that person. I mean, I've found white folk that are very, I could deal with a lot of white people more than I could deal with a lot of these black people that I'm around, you know. And when I was younger, you know, I felt more comfortable around white folk. Only reason being is I didn't feel like I could be under attack. With black folk, because I was in the streets and all that, it could have been anything. If you looked at me wrong, I would have took your head off. I would have killed you. Did you understand before I started taking that teaching that the white man's the devil? And that was proved to me through history. You see? And that's the thing. Seti wouldn't go out of his way. And I'm saying, even when he played the Malachi Zed York insert, which was so true. Malachi Zed York said, look, if you don't believe that the white man's the devil, that's the reason why black folk are in the position, are in the situation that we're in, worldwide. You know, our women go out of their way to look like their women. If they really knew or really had that idea that the white man's the devil, do you think they'll be trying to look like Europeans? Huh? Brother? I don't try to look like the white man. I'm even more that I don't want no piece of this system. I don't vote. You know, all I want to do is do for myself. I don't want these people in my business for nothing.
Yeah.
You understand?
Hey, brother, I know I only got 9 minutes, but, you know, I'm just like you, brother. I grew up in the hills of New York. I grew up in the hills of Los Angeles before I got the black consciousness, if you will. And I went through that stage. I called it the red stage. And I do understand what you're going through. And, you know, then you want to force information down everybody's throat. All it is a process. So the stage that you're on, you are correct. You're 100% correct. You know, the white man is the devil. You know, but then again, you know, once you know the problem, then you got to find the solutions. And all that will come in time. You know, because I was the same way. I grew around all that stuff. I actually literally took care of myself. You know, I'm basically the only person I know that lived the life that I lived. You know, lived in the boxes in the streets and stuff like that. You know, so as a young boy from 5 years on, you know, from 5 years on up. So I went through the same thing you did, you know, and that's why I was always listening to the one who gave me the solution. You see what I'm saying? And it takes time. It's going to take some time, you know, because what happened to me was when I was a zealot, you know, I started noticing that a lot of the leadership of these organizations were government agents. You know, so, you know, that hurt it as well, too. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
When you know, putting all your heart and energy and you naked, broke, and out of doors, and they are wealthy and fat, and come to find out they're government agents, that's going to hurt, too. But that kind of, you know, that's part of the process. You know what I'm saying? To help you to only trust and believe and know the God within yourself. So what you're going through, brother, all of, you know, the ones who didn't have the family background, you know, we all went through that stage. Like I told you, I've been in it for a very long time, and I just didn't, you know, sit at home. I was in it. My foot was in it. You know what I'm saying? It was funny
when
I was like
19. I feel that you're an example for everybody, you know. I mean, if this country weren't so damn cold and, you know, I could only really grow vegetables at a certain period, but I'm looking to grow vegetables in my house, maybe in an indoor an indoor tent and try and grow fruit. But at the same time, these police might kick off my door thinking I'm growing marijuana.
So where you live at? So see again where you live at? Because me, you gotta look for land. I was like, say for instance, I don't believe it's wise. This is me personally. If I had a job that I worked for 10, 15, 20 years, and if I can't invest $1,000 a year out of those 10, 15, 20 years to invest in some land in some rural area, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what I'm just talking about. Just basic common sense for me. If I worked a job for 10, 20 years. And I can't, because people buy cars, they buy jewelry, they buy stuff that's going to take money out of your pocket. But so let's say, for instance, 10, 20 years. I know time running out. 10, 20 years or 10 years. So you get two acres now for like $2,000. Okay. You can actually get equipment, spend a weekend on your own land to build your own property. You know, build your land. Build a house, you know, it's so easy to build a 5,000-square-foot home now, you know, and it's cheaper than to live in a city. So what I'm saying is instead of always investing.
Brother, you guys still there?
Yeah, we're actually going to about drop any second now.
Okay, then. Brother Esther, I'll be back tomorrow, brother. I've got a show as well, Carbon Radio. You'd be welcome to listen or come visit. But I like your show.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
you.
I'll
be back tomorrow.
And for those of you who are listening on the archive, we'll catch you tomorrow evening at 10 p.m. It's your man, S-Dot, the Black Love Experience. Holla.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there. Choice I leave to you.